I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Amazing FBA show. This is your host, Michael Veazey. Delighted to welcome an old friend to the show who I've known probably at least 3 years, Paul Harvey of Seller Chatbot. So, Paul, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for that intro.
Tell me about this, the rebate flow. We mentioned this before. This is one of the more controversial but also potentially sexy topics. So let's get into this.
It is. And we published our recent rebate flow about maybe 2-3 weeks ago. We only announced it recently. And we were reluctant to because, again, now, Michael, you've been around for years. And you remember there was a period on Amazon when incentivized reviews were allowed.
Yeah, it was halcyon days. I remember it.
Oh, crazy, right? I remember when Amazon made this. Well, I won't say Amazon. When this strategy was effective, you could simply go into a site like AMZ Tracker, list your product there, people will buy it at a discount, and then give you a 5-star review. Ranking goes through the roof, and 5-star reviews go through the roof. It was a great strategy. However, at the time, I was on the fence saying, no, guys, this is breaking Amazon terms of service. And I did believe that. But Amazon did not clamp down. And there was nothing strict in their TOS saying that. And then what happened a year and a half later, after Amazon got some bad press about this, Amazon then changed the TOS. And anyone then doing incentivized reviews will be banned. And they held up to that. Now, during that period, I was trying to be the nice guy. I was trying to have morals and say this against service. I didn't do any incentivized reviews. However, all my competitors did, and they just flew straight past me. So I tried to be the nice guy. I tried to play by the rules, and it didn't work. And actually, those rules were pretty much subjective because I assumed it was against terms of service, but other people said no, but there's nothing against this in the terms of service. Now, rebates are exactly this. It really is, because it goes to a few other levels, because there's nothing in the Amazon terms of service that says rebates are not allowed. Nothing at all. So I've spoken to a number of high profile sellers that got in writing from Amazon saying, yeah, you can do it. However, when you mix rebates and then you ask for a review, right there, that is breaking TOS. And I've never seen anyone being suspended for rebates, but I have seen rebates and then asking for reviews from those rebates, those people being suspended. So, and also again, think of this, right? Amazon makes more money off a full price sale than a discount. So they're actually happy for people to do rebates because they make more money. So, and also secondly, how does Amazon track this? How do they know you're doing rebates? They'll need access to your PayPal account and a whole bunch of other tracking stuff there. It's a pain. So there's two factors there. Amazon's reluctance to change this. However, that being said, what's going to happen next is people are going to abuse the system. They really are. And then Amazon will be forced to make these changes. So again, I'm saying to everyone, you know what, your business, your decision, but do it now. Because how long is this loophole going to be open for? And right now, to run a rebate is expensive, but it's the best way to rank. It really is.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think it's a very grown-up way of looking at business quite calmly from a distance. It's like, okay, so let's look at the three levels, if you like. Like, for example, if we go back to the seller review thing, so those of us who have been around for a while, as you say, first of all, back in the day, yes, you could basically just buy reviews effectively or influence people heavily. And quite understandably, that was against the spirit of the review system, but not against the letter of the law as it stood at that point. If you try to be the nice guy, everyone passes you. But there is a point where that flips on its head because you've been very aggressive. Suddenly, Amazon turns that around because rightly the press was accurately, I think, saying that their review system was inaccurate. So, yeah, and this is it's a sort of strategy, overall strategy. In other words, not tactical, but...
And also one thing I just want to state about that is... just about when Amazon then stopped the incentivized reviews, There was a period of a year and a half where there were tons of Amazon courses pushing out. It's so easy now because you just list your product on these review sites, get it sold out, and so on and so forth. And it was so easy. When Amazon then changed the rules, people had no marketing experience. They didn't know how to launch a product, doing anything, and then it's a tough spot. And actually, during that period, I told a number of sellers that use these incentivized review services. I said to them, listen, you're missing out on learning how to do your own marketing. You're taking a shortcut, and it will come back and bite you. And it did. And I knew I was part of a course back then. I helped out in this training course. There were over 150 people. And once that review system stopped, the course closed down. Because people knew now, wait a minute, I have to now learn Facebook ads, PPC, all this stuff. They can't.
Yeah. You've actually got to be a grown-up marketer. Yeah, that's a really good. So I think this is the grown-upness of it. It's like, number one, everyone else is doing it. So if you don't, you're going to lose out. But number two, it's going to change. So have alternative marketing strategies. And number three, I guess, it implies is be very aware of where Amazon's at with this. I mean, they didn't change the incentivized review thing because it was kind of in their interest, because if things look like five-star products, people will buy it. So it made Amazon a lot of money.
And they make money off the former costs.
Yeah, but then it was starting to affect their brand with the consumers, which is sacred. So then they changed it. Whereas in this case, it's all the same stuff again, isn't it? I mean, when it starts appearing on the 10 o'clock news and Guardian articles and the Telegraph and the Sun, maybe, I don't know, depending on which demographic you're after. These are the British newspapers, guys, if you're listening from America, whatever it is, or more significantly in social media, then okay, they're going to have to change it. It's funny how old school I am, isn't it? It's like the major papers is the main place that things need to appear. Of course, it's going to be on social media, I guess. But at that point, it affects their brand. That affects whether people go to Amazon or actually stop going to Amazon, and whether they trust Amazon to buy or don't buy. Once that starts happening, they're going to change it. So we've got to, if you're doing something that's higher risk, it's just like a good tennis player. You're going to put the ball just inside the line. And the closer you are to the line, the more accurate you need to be, and the more you need to keep an eye on it generally. So it makes sense. So, okay, we've done all the legal stuff. So it works for now. So how are we going to gather? How does this actually work then?
Okay, so now there's two options here, right? Now, because rebates are a very trending strategy right now, especially with chatbots, you can actually automate everything. So if you use ManyChat, you can actually automate the whole process where a customer will actually buy your product and then send you the order ID, and then I think if they're using either Zapier or Integromat, it will then check your Amazon account for the order ID, and if the order ID comes back positive, it will then do an automatic PayPal refund. So pretty much, or I might not do a PayPal refund, I might just maybe do add another product to send to customer, because maybe you're doing a buy one, get one off offer, whatever it is. So you can automate everything, which is great. And I recommend everyone to do that. However, I was actually speaking to, Michael, you've met Steve Simonson. And about 2 months back, myself, Anthony, my partner in the chatbot, and Steve, all of us were chatting, right? And we're talking about automation. And we're saying to Steve, we really want to do automation of rebates in the chatbot. He goes, wait a minute, guys, are you saying you want to automate a way to take money out of my account on a regular basis that I have no control over unless I'm monitoring it? And we're like, yeah. He goes, why? I'm going to be bankrupt within a few weeks then. This is ridiculous. How many people can actually do that? How many people are actually aware of this? And that's a good point there. What if your whole flow went viral? You could be bankrupt overnight. Yes, there are ways, restrictions, boundaries you can put in place. However, to learn those boundaries and restrictions takes a while, because it's a deep learning curve. So right now I say to everyone, that's great, go ahead and do that. But what I do right now is I have a rebate flow that talks to my customer saying, and I don't say to them, this is free. Well, I do say it's free, but they always ask, why is this free? I say the reason it's free is because we're doing a launch and we want to find out your feedback. We find out your feedback about the buying process, the delivery, product improvement, so on and so forth. So the customer knows, oh, wait a minute, they want some feedback from me. And then later, I can ask them for a review, which is Black Hat. I can ask them for a review if I choose to, or just not. And I often don't, because the customer now knows, oh, wait a minute, they've found the catch. Their company wants feedback. So they never, I never asked for feedback, but because all I want is a sale. But it makes sense to the customers' eyes. Why are we doing this? Because free is a big catch. Why is it free? And then in the flow, we say to them, great, I give them the search and buy instructions and they go buy it and so on and so forth. And what I do as well, it's a little ninja trick there. When you do search and buy, the keyword they search for, we use a feature into the chatbot that goes, cycles through keywords. So if you're selling a baby blanket, it will play or say to you, it would say, please search for blue baby blankets. For me, it will say, please search for baby blankets for boys. So pretty much every time you can actually automate your relevancy towards the keywords, you're doing a search and buy through any keyword you wish, which is really, really powerful. But anyway, you carry on through that. The customer does the whole search and buy instructions. They buy it and they submit you with either your photo of the screenshot, or they give you the order ID. And then what I do then is I have a VA that manually handles all this stuff. So she knows we'll run rebates from 8 a.m. to maybe about 12 p.m. or maybe like 2 p.m., whichever, because she has to be aware monitoring these things. And as soon as someone submits a order ID or someone submits a screenshot of their order, she will then get their email address and run the PayPal refund through to them, which is great. And I prefer this because I trust a VA over all the automation.
Yeah, I think you've just made an extremely good point, which I think was worth underlining, which is that whatever system you've got set up, I mean, you kind of want marketing to go viral, but you kind of don't want the economics of it are negative. So yeah, it's and that's the exactly. Absolute classic thing, right? You still get that now. There's that, they call it the checkbox of death, right? Somewhere in the promo code section that, should this code be public? And if you forget to uncheck that box, then suddenly your code could go viral, yeah, and your time. Entire stock gets wiped out either for free or 80% off. And that happens all the time. And yes, as you say, you can do things like, reserving order, you reserve stock for 2 weeks, and there's definitely ways around it, but a lot of people aren't very fluent with that. And if it's in any way uncertain, if you look at the probability of, okay, maybe I always think in terms of risk reward, so it's like maybe a 5% chance of getting my entire stock wiped out, that's not risk that's worth taking in order to get your product launched, if there's a way of doing it that's more, that's safer. So this reminds you also in terms of sort of cash management, of the very old school thing, which is you want to automate inflows of cash to your business, and you want to write a check or something for all of your, you know, it's very old school, especially in the UK, but you want to write a check for all of your bills, because that means they have to invoice you, and then you have to manually approve the check, and then you have to get it in the post, and then they have to take it to the bank, and then it takes 4 days to clear, or whatever it is. It's the same thing, right? You want to protect your income, but you want to make it as easy for possible for people to buy, and then that means overall that's sort of protecting your cash flow. It's more likely to turn up than down, right? So it's a very wise thing when somebody who's an expert in automation tells you not to automate things, because that's exactly. The downside.
And Steve is a guy that does more containers in a week than the average seller does in a lifetime selling on Amazon.
Yeah, he's a pretty serious guy. Yeah, and I'm in conversations to get him in the 10K Collective podcast. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, he's a serious dude. So, absolutely. And when somebody who's got that level of experience tells you stuff, is worth listening. So that's very, very smart. So tell me a little bit more. I understand you can use chatbots to improve PPC as well. So this is a bit of another ninja tactic that we mentioned. So tell me a bit more about that.
Okay, so... So this actually, this is brand new. I haven't told you about this. So now people are asking me, Paul, what super URLs do you use? Do you use the storefronts, the add to cart, the brand URL, everything? And to be honest, I haven't used a super URL now for 2 years, purely because in all my bot flows, I do search and buy, meaning I give the customer search and buy instructions. So maybe I want to rank for the keyword baby blankets. I tell them, type in baby blankets on Amazon, find our product on page 2. Here's a picture of it, purchase it. That's it. And I prefer this because Amazon can see, wait a minute, customers are coming to the homepage, typing in the keyword and going through the results and finding this product. Therefore, this product must be relevant for that keyword. So your ranking and relevancy goes through the roof. However, bear in mind, in ranking relevancy, I forget the data now, but I think it's like over 70 data points in helping you rank. So this is only, I don't know how many data points this is by doing a search and buy, but what if the customer types in baby blanket and they see your sponsored ad for baby blanket, and then they click on your sponsored ad, add to cart, and purchase? What happens then? Well, that's an extra ranking point for Amazon, because Amazon's asked, wait a minute, this customer clicked on their sponsored ad and bought it immediately. Therefore, this product must be relevant for that keyword, and this product will then have a lower ACOS and a lower Amazon ads. And remember, with Amazon ads, think about it. Does Amazon make more money off let's say this, Michael. Let's say, for example, you're a bestseller and I'm like a very, very poor seller, very slow seller. And I bid, let's say, $5 a click, and you bid $1 a click. Amazon will send you over me because you are a bestseller. Amazon has more chance of making a sale for you than it is with me. Amazon makes more money off a sale. So that's really important to note now, is that now Amazon are seeing, wait a minute, people are typing a keyword, clicking on this sponsored ad and buying. So now your ACOS drops and your relevancy improves. People are always apprehensive saying, oh, but Paul, I don't want to spend more money on PPC because it's more advertising budget. I'm like, yes, but it pays off in the long run. You are sending so many social signals to your listing that Amazon cannot avoid it. Amazon sees, wait a minute, Algo loves this, and your ranking goes through the roof.
Excellent. And the thing is that it's a penny wise, pound foolish. If you're going to spend money on getting people to the listing in the first place, it's going to cost you money, or it's getting to Amazon. So, yeah, the bottom line is that you want to tickle the algorithm and say, this product is relevant to your customers and is going to make you money. So there's always the three audiences that are involved, right, with ranking. It's number one, Amazon, is it going to make the money? Number two, the customer, who is God in Amazon's eyes, is it going to keep them coming back to Amazon? Yes. Is it going to keep the trust? That's the brand thing. And then is it going to make the money in the end of the day, right? So if you can do those things, Amazon is going to reward you, and that means higher rankings, which means more visibility, which means more sales, bigger market share. We've already talked about the importance of that, and everything else good flows from that. So yeah, it's just such a no-brainer, really. But you're going to have to devote more money to the launch. So I think that's one of the things that's common to the really successful sellers that we both personally know, is that they are willing to spend a lot of money to launch in a very aggressive way. But they don't depend on the expensive traffic sources for ongoing money. But the point about this is that, yes, it's more expensive, but it sends such powerful ranking signals that you're going to get the organic ranking, which means that you get free traffic from Amazon. And that's, you know, in the Amazon jet stream, whatever you call it, then, you know, then you're in business, right? And then you can basically dial back on all the expensive marketing and dial up your price, and you're sitting pretty. So it 100% makes sense. Well, look, Paul, I know you've got to dash off and take care of your different businesses, the Amazon businesses, the software as a service, which I understand is a pretty hard work, but you've done the hard work for everyone else, so that, you know, you've done the sweat behind the scenes so everyone else can do an easier job of launching. Thank you so much for your honesty and wisdom about the limitations of these things and how to box clever, that it's not a silver bullet, but that it really is extremely effective lever we can pull now. So how do people get hold of you, and what are the options that you offer, just briefly?
Best thing to do, I'd say to everyone, is reach out to me at Seller Chatbot. So just Paul at Seller Chatbot, reach out to there. And if I'm slow to respond, just make it support at Seller Chatbot, purely because the team will then jump on it and force me to take action, because my inbox often gets overfilled. But anyway, reach out to us at Seller Chatbot. And then what we're offering currently is, what I recommend to everyone is this, is we have two basic templates, two basic type of packages. You can sign up right now, monthly fee, and then you can get going right now and use the chatbot. And so the chatbot right now can do everything that other platforms can use. So basically, if you want to use a chat widget on your website, if you want to use Facebook ads or anything really, anything that ManyChat can do, we pretty much can do ManyChat on chatbot with some differences. Secondly, what I recommend to everyone is we have some advanced training and advanced templates. For example, let's say maybe you want to do a Wheel of Fortune that has rebates, big discounts, and viral sharing in it. That's a really cool flow we have. You can do all that stuff with advanced templates, which comes with advanced training, which is basically me just talking you through a whole bunch of strategies, which I use and I use my clients as well. And And again, if you get the advanced training, I'll apologize because you will be sick of my voice very, very soon.
I think it's fine. I don't think you have a big problem with the voice. Trust me, I've interviewed a lot of people. I think it's as good as anyone else. But I think the fact that you're not a BS artist, it kind of already helps in this kind of arena. So the advanced training with you, and that there's a basic version of that. And then from what you're saying, you know, you mentioned clients, so presumably people can get hold of you to discuss working with you as an agency effectively. That sounds to me like there's basically three different ways to work with you, right? So there's the basic use of the seller chatbot, there's the advanced training and templates, and then there's working with you, you know, personally, and you guys implement the stuff for them, right? Excellent. Good. So, and just remind us of the URL that people want to get going to. In fact, you know what? We'll put it in the show notes. It's probably be easier, isn't it? Sure. Rather than, because it's going to be a long one. So that's great stuff. Thank you so much, Paul, for coming back on the show.
Thank you, Mark. I've always enjoyed our chat.
It's always good. Yeah, I really enjoy talking to you. And like I said, the fact that you got that maths teacher background, you got that way of analysing things, and you're honest, and that ability to combine those two is really good in an area where, as you say, if anyone gets obsessed with rebates and that's their only basic launch mechanism, that's all very well until it gets closed down and then they'll be out of business. So I like the fact you put that in perspective, but you're not being puritanical. It's like, okay, you know, you can do it for the moment, the loophole will be closed, but for now let's make hay but with a bit of wisdom. So what's the last piece of advice you'd have for somebody who's launching products, whether it's their first product or they've been around for a while, I guess, so it's gonna be very general advice. What would you say?
Pretty much the best advice I can give to everyone is a basic like teacher type of advice. It's just get out there and fail as fast as you can. I know Facebook ads are daunting. I get that. I know chatbots are daunting. However, if it's daunting for you, it's daunting for your competitors. I spend about half an hour every day just researching pages. And I recommend everyone go into the Facebook ads library. You can see then all the ads from your competitors. Type in their rebate. You can see then all the rebate ads you can come across, and take notes how horrendous their ads are, how horrendous their bot flows are. I've yet to come across a bot flow that I've been like, wow, that's cool, because there aren't any. What I mean by that is, if you can get ahead now, you're in a good spot. And I'm not talking about hours and hours of work, just have a small budget, maybe like $100, whichever, and use that to just burn through it to learn. And you learn more by burning and wasting your money than you would do sometimes by wisely investing, because you are learning to invest. You are learning to market.
That's excellent advice. And I love what you're saying. I don't have the sense of this as accurately as you do, but the fact that everyone else is doing it terribly is always a good sign that you shouldn't be so worried about not being good. And also because it is fairly new and people tend to approach it in the way that I've approached other things that work a different way. I mean, somebody's treating my seller chatbot series is anyway, the ones that I get on basically like bad email marketing. It's just spam, 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 pitch, pitch, pitch. So all you suggested earlier is like nurturing people immediately. If you do that, which you've heard already from Paul, so you know, just give them good content, and you know who the audience is and what content they want from the strategy you've suggested. It's not going to be hard to be better.
And one thing I've noticed, and this is something we need to be careful of, is that a whole bunch of these rebate flows, rebate ads, everything, it was clear as soon as I clicked on the ad, this was a Chinese seller. English was terrible. I tried to speak to them. It was even more terrible. And I was like, wow, as an English speaker, we're in a good spot. Because they can, I was talking to the Chinese seller, like in terms of numbers, in terms of units, they can just easily manufacture more, but they can't. I mean, they have to hire someone. It has to be a good English speaker, but they're weak on that. So, but again, that won't last long.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the other thing that amazes me, just to wrap up on this, that we are in a golden period right now where the Chinese sellers are still, although they're producing better photographs now on Amazon, but they still have a habit of writing awful English and things that just don't appeal to people. Like, have happy time. This is just such a major hello. This is a neon sign saying this is a Chinese seller. That cannot last. I mean, somebody who's spending collectively billions of dollars a year on marketing to Amazon, at some point the penny simply has to drop.
Yeah.
That you could hire somebody fairly cheaply who's a native English speaker to do your copywriting for you. And it's a crazy radical idea, but it's got to happen at some point. And at that point, we lose our advantage. So again, yeah, talking of playing, you know, making hay while the sun shines, and that's going to change as well. So, you know, it's a quasi depressing thought to end on, but it's a quasi also like, but it's brilliant time right now. So get into there. The fact that you can write any kind of English, exactly, as you said, doesn't have to be Shakespeare, but you know, it's going to be make you stand out in a world of terrible advertising. In the world of the blind, the one-eyed man is king, I guess is what we're saying. So oh, yes. Paul, thank you so much for coming on. It's fantastic to have you on.
Thank you, Michael.
So what a welcome change to have somebody so humble and straightforward and honest as well about the pitfalls as well as of different approaches in the Amazon space, but in internet marketing generally, but particularly for somebody who sells software as a service and training. That's truly exceptional, which is why I've got Paul on the show multiple times and we'll have him on again, because he's a rare and important kind of person from that point of view. Also happens to be very, very competent. Otherwise, all that niceness wouldn't count for anything. So nice plus competent is basically what I require of my guests these days, and pretty much anyone I hang out really with in the Amazon community. So Paul's a very trustworthy guy, which I think is the ultimate reason why it's even worth considering. Listen to what he has to say, and very competent. Don't forget, this is a man, he's very modest, and he didn't sort of present that as his sort of pitch about himself at the beginning of the show. But the fact is that he's sold at least two Amazon businesses in the last couple of years that he's built from scratch. So an extremely capable e-commerce seller in his own rights, but now also doing the software stuff. So if you are even thinking about the chatbot thing, I'd really suggest you check out Seller Chatbot, because not only is Paul a very serious Amazon seller himself and knows exactly what you really need, but, and this is really important, he has created the processes already. So even if they weren't programmed into his chatbot software, that is really worth having, because reinventing the wheel, folks, is just painful and totally unnecessary. And so if you use ManyChat and then you have to create your own chatbot flows that are untested, you're going to have to go through a lot of expensive testing and a lot of time and effort. That's just not worth doing, in my experience, in my opinion. If you're going to do something, and not everybody should be using chatbots as part of their marketing, they may assess it and decide that it's not the right marketing channel for them, because there are multiple different ways of marketing things. And that's absolutely cool. But if you are going to do it, I would suggest very strongly you at least give it a trial, or you know, try it for a month or two before using somebody else's software, because it is relevant to what you do. So it's going to save you hours of time of reinventing the wheel. From that point of view, if you are interested either in the Seller Chatbot basic thing itself or the more advanced training, I know that the advanced training is currently on sale for $299 at the time of recording, so late July, early August, but I believe that they're going to take that down, that offer, in a few days, and it will go back to the standard price, $499. So if you are considering getting some advanced training of some of the stuff that Paul's been talking about with rebates and Facebook ads, obviously you are going to learn, as Paul said, you know, the best way to learn is experience, but you might as well start from a training structure of somebody who really knows their onions. And if you're going to do that, we have a deal for you at amazingfba.com/chatbot. That's C-H-A-T-B-O-T. amazingfba.com/chatbot. And once again, just to be clear and honest, yes, I am an affiliate for Paul, but I'm proud to be associated with Paul, because he's a super smart guy. He's kosher, if you like, a real person, a real Amazon seller, and very good at creating products and services that serve people. So I'm very happy to be associated with him. And of course, like any affiliate sort of deal, it means that the merchant, i.e. the person selling the end stuff, is the person who ends up paying for it. So you would never pay more through an affiliate link. So there's no downside really. But do whatever you like and go through whatever links you like. But I would say the final thing to say is this: by all means, assess chatbots and make the decision, as some very smart sellers I know do, that it's not part of the marketing mix that they think is the right way of them spending their money and effort. But I wouldn't dismiss it without at least understanding in some detail what's going on, because if nothing else, your competition is using chatbots and they're going to be using them on a bigger and bigger scale over the next coming period. It's very obvious where the trend's going. So inform yourself, if nothing else, so that you know what the environment you're selling is going to be like over the next few months and couple of years, so that you go in smart. At the end, education of the right kind doesn't necessarily mean you have to do everything, but you should be aware of things. That's just as important, in my view, because we don't work in isolation, and the really smart sellers know that everything they do is relative to the competition and the demand, and that's grown-up selling. Thanks very much for listening. Speak to you in the next show.